You and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this evening is the gospel lesson, but especially verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. This is also the fourth part of a series, Children of Promise, and the title, The Promise Fulfilled. The promise reaches its completion in Jesus Christ, and every prophecy in the Old Testament, every strand of prophecy and hope and dream comes together in Him. From the words to Eve, to the words to Abraham, to the words through the prophets. From thee. From the lostness of Israel. Realizing time and time again that they had sinned and fallen away from God. To the hope that was given to them. Again, time and time again in the sacrifices of the temple and the Passover lamb and the morning and the evening sacrifices, everything else comes together in this child. He is announced by the angel. The words are believed by Mary. And that is our fourth couplet of a mother and a child. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that which was from the beginning, which we have seen and our hands have handled, the Word of life, the Son of God, coming into our world. He comes to fulfill everything that is promised. He comes to be our brother, our friend, our good shepherd, our Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I learned some of the full extent of this some years ago. It was 2002. I had the privilege of going overseas to southern Africa and out to the Kalahari and meeting with some of the Bushmen out there. Met with an elderly lady by the name of Khalabotse, who in the course of our meeting together said, "Yes, you can look inside my house. You can go in there for a moment." Her house was about that big. The frame of the house was sticks stuck into the sand of the desert and then woven together to form a dome. When it rained, the rain would go right through. Was not watertight. It was not wind resistant. And there was a little fire inside. There's something that I learned on that day and then coming back to the States. Something that comes into play in this text. Because see, the angel says to the shepherds, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Think about it for a moment, how strange that must have sounded. You know, if you and I, if we were going to do it and plan it, we would have him born in a palace, wouldn't we? Fine silk sheets and everything else, the finest of everything. That's not how God does what He does. And there's a reason for it. The angel comes to the shepherds and says, you don't look in the palace, you don't look in the houses of the wise or the rich, you go to a stable. And there in a manger with hay for his bed, you will find Christ, the Messiah, the promised Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, if you will. Why does he enter our world in that way? Why is it? See, the manger preaches a sermon. It preaches that God is serious about this business of reaching out to us. And where all over the world, every religion except this one says, raise yourself up. Improve yourself spiritually. Find your way to God. Strengthen your faith life. Now, this religion of ours says, you can't do that. You cannot reach God. You cannot climb up into heaven. You cannot grab a hold of Him. He has to come down to you. And how far is He going to go? Is He going to stoop down only a little ways so that you have to reach up the other part of the distance? Is He going to come down only to those who are really, really trying and making some headway spiritually? The answer is no. He's going to come into our world all the way down to the lowest part. All the way to the least. All the way to the most lost among us. All the way to the poorest. The lesson of the manger is very simply this. There is no human being in this world who can truly, accurately say, I'm too lowly for God, or I'm too far from God, or I'm not the one He wants to reach out to. The Son of God comes to share our weakness, our hunger, our thirst, our tiredness. He comes to share those times when we pray and we're not sure if we are heard. And those times when we are not sure about the future. He was serious about walking with us, being one of us. How far did He go in this? How far did He go in this path? All the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And from the Garden of Gethsemane to the cross. And from the cross to the tomb. So serious about reaching out to us that it was not enough for Him to share our flesh. Not enough for Him to share our needs and our sufferings. He was going to share every bit of what we are. And that included our sins. The Christ child asleep on the hay that day was there so that one day, having grown up, he could bow his head and fall asleep on the cross. He was there to come and fight for your soul and to win for you eternal life. The promise fulfilled. Think about what exactly is the promise. Is it simply that God would one day step into our world? No. Is it simply that one day God would reveal His will to us? No. The promise was that in the flesh of this child, this seed of the woman, this promised descendant of Abraham, this one for whom every generation waited, in the flesh of this child, our future, our salvation, our heaven, our eternity, our every blessing would be wrapped up in Him. So the angel choirs are sent to the shepherds. And what a strange thing that is. Think about it. From the position of being one of the angels, you're used to singing God's praise. You see His glory, the magnificence and the splendor of God. And you get to sing His praise. Like the angels in Isaiah, with two wings cover your face, with two wings cover your feet, with two wings fly and call out to one another and say, "Holy, holy, holy." That's the splendor of the majesty of God, right? But now the whole thing gets turned around and something very strange happens. And you're sent to shepherds out in the field. And to shepherds out in the field to tell about a baby in a stable laying in a manger and sing glory to God in the highest because of that. Ah. As Peter says, things that angels long to look into. Well, here it is. Opened up for them, opened up for us. Because here it is. This is the splendor, the glory, the majesty, the holiness of God. They're in the manger for you and me. If you were one of the angels, from the beginning of the world looking forward to this, this is not what you would have figured on. It is not what you would have expected. But God insists. He insists that His grace will be astonishing and His grace will be a surprise. And His grace will capture our hearts and our imaginations. And His grace will pull us to Himself. A baby in a stable, in a manger. Completely unexpected, but completely and exactly the kind of thing that God, in grace and mercy and insisting on being the one who will do the work of salvation from beginning to end, is the kind of thing that makes sense once you hear it, once you see it. The angels, seeing this thing that has been done, finding out how God was going to come into this world, what else can they say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. What else can they say? What sign are they going to tell to the shepherds? A baby in a manger. An amazing thing. But that's our God, the creator of the universe, present everywhere, seeing all things, judging all people. There He is, lying in a manger, or held in the arms of His mother, kept warm, nourished and fed, carried by Mary and Joseph, soon off to Egypt, then returning to Nazareth, then to grow up and speak the word of God, to live as one who had no place to lay his head, to be out in the wilderness for you and me, facing temptation and fasting and praying. To be there in the garden, kneeling and praying again. To be there on the cross, praying again. It's all wrapped up in the sign of the manger. That's the fulfillment of the promise. And it astonishes just as much today as it did on that first Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.